I welcome you to another episode of Restored Life Podcast with Stanley. Here we learn how to grow our knowledge of God's Word and to rest in His goodness. On this platform, we will share how you can act on the Word of God, walk in your inheritance, and enjoy all God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. In today's episode, we intend to continue with our series on a call to walk in the Spirit. And this is very important for every Christian to listen to. And today we're focusing on the very fact that it's very important for every Christian to have his mind renewed daily. You know why? Because you are born again in your spirit man. And whilst a change of nature happens in your spirit, the very moment you turn your heart over to the Lord, the total renewal of your mind doesn't happen immediately. Rather, it is a process. At first, the mind is educated by the body and the physical senses. And when you are saved, this process changes. Your mind becomes cultured and educated by the Spirit of God in your born-again spirit. However, the extent of the transformation of the components of your soul, namely your emotions, your will, your feelings, your character, your culture, is based on how much your mind is daily renewed by the Word of God. This renewal or what we call the change or renovation of your mind is like reprogramming of the mind. And, I'll look at it this way. The application here that is needed for the reprogramming of your mind is the Word of God. It is the same as educating your inward man, your soul, your mind with the Word of God through contemplating, learning, practicing, and confessing the Word of God. You know, at first, you start to read the Word, and then you grow into studying it, and then while you're studying it, you begin to meditate and contrive the Word of God. And as you do this habitually, you gradually exchange your own carnal and fleshly thoughts for the divine thoughts. You exchange your thinking and your perspectives, limited as they are, for His own perspectives. And ultimately, your perspective in life changes as your mind is renewed daily in the Word. We are told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And to communicate this in another way, I'll draw your attention to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. That all things are passed away and all things have become new. Please understand that in your soul, all things haven't become new. The old things passed away in your spirit man, but not in your soul. So for that reason, if your mind isn't renewed by the Word, in the war that exists between the flesh and the spirit, which Paul referred to in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, you know what happens? Your mind will side with the body and your physical senses against the spirit man. And the result of this is that, walking in the spirit becomes difficult and actually impossible. And if you're not walking in the spirit, you know what happens? You'll be carnally minded and will inadvertently fulfill the lust of the flesh. And since the carnal mind is in enmity with God, you therefore cannot be friends with God. That is a picture of a believer who does not renew his mind. He or she remains spiritually immature, tossed to and fro, up today, down tomorrow. And because such a person is unable to discern spiritual things, he's unable to enjoy fellowship with God and cannot understand the plan and the purpose of God for his life. Amen. So, this is very important for us, as we grow and as we deepen our walk with God in the coming year. Now, understand that a person can sin after he's saved, and this is why. From all that has been said so far, it becomes easy to understand why many Christians still sin. It isn't God who tempts us to sin. No. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, in James chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by evil. and he himself tempts no one. So we see that God is not the source of temptation faced by the Christian. Every one of us was born in sin, and our old sin nature programmed our minds on how to be anxious, to be revengeful, to be selfish, to be covetous, to be bitter, and to be angry, and so on and so forth. You know, and like I said before, it will take the daily renewal of your mind, of our minds, to reprogram our minds accordingly. Agreed. Our sin nature is dead and gone, but it left behind a body which is the carnal mind. Now the mind is a door to your spirit. And I'd like to explain it this way. Jesus said, "For your Father knows what things you need before you ask Him." Right? So this is how it happens. While the thought of what you'll ask the Father is still in your mind, the Spirit of God in your human spirit picks it up as a request, yet you haven't voiced it out. So in a similar vein, your spirit expresses itself through your mind. When the Spirit of God communicates divine thoughts to your spirit expresses this through your mind. And then you may act it out in your body. That's how it flows. So when a Christian's mind isn't renewed by the Word, you know what happens? His mind conforms to the world rather than the Word of God. His mind conforms to the flesh rather than the will of God. The result is this: a rebellious act against God, against the word of the Lord. You know, Watchman Nee in volume 13 of The Spiritual Man puts it this way, and I'll quote him. He said, Paul said, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Not one soul. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, not one soul. So the soul is only the personality of a man and is natural. It should only be used as a vessel to express the results of the union between the Lord and the spirit of the believer. In the believer's soul, there is nothing that matches the nature of the Lord's life. Only the spirit can have such union. Since the union is a union of the spirit, there is no place for the soul. If the soul and the spirit are still mixed, it will make the union impure. As long as our living has any trace of working according to our thoughts, of having our own opinion in any or having our emotions stirred in any way, it is enough to weaken this union in our experience. Now, our experience, the emphasis there is mine. Only things of a similar nature may have a fitting union. Mixture will not do. Furthermore, Watchman Nee said, if the believer is unwilling to let go of his own wonderful thoughts, unwilling to get rid of his own likings, and unwilling to lay aside his own ideas to obey God's will, it is impossible to express this union in experience. Quotation ended. Now, I hope you're beginning to understand this. Somebody has asked, is perfection possible for every believer? And I say, yes, perfection is possible. You know, wrong teaching has promoted the belief that we are not perfect and cannot be perfect in this life. But let's see what the Bible has to say about this. You know, the Word teaches us that you can live holy and perfect whilst you're alive in your human body. Before Jesus signed the deed of the new covenant, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, he said this. He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." If it wasn't possible to be perfect, would Jesus, you know, command us to be? Certainly not. So what did Jesus mean when he said, "Be ye therefore perfect"? The Greek word translated perfect means complete and completeness, or coming to fullness, lacking nothing. Therefore, Jesus was saying, God is complete without a doubt. So be complete as He is. And then in Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10, we are told, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." The same passage rendered in Amplified, the classic version of the Amplified Bible, says, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity The Godhead continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in Him, made full and having come to the fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. So the question to ask is this: how can you be filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and still be imperfect? We must therefore understand that the Godhead indwells our spirit man. And in the spirit, we are perfect. Perfect as He is. And God relates with you in the spirit, as we see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. And if the spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Jesus from the dead will also restore your life, your mortal, short-lived and perishable bodies, through His spirit who dwells in you. So since God is a spirit, He deals with us on the basis of who we are in the spirit. According to John chapter 4 and verse 24, therefore, I encourage you, child of God, enjoy a life of a daily walk in the spirit. Therein lies a secret to continuous victory over the world. We are sons of God. We are born free and need no form of deliverance. We are born of the word and of the spirit. So we are word and spirit, just like a lion is born of a lion and is therefore a lion. So I challenge you in the name of the Lord, let us live our real nature. God bless you. I hope you've enjoyed this series. You may need to listen to it over and over again. Until I come your way with another series, stay blessed. Amen.